You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Today is Wednesday. Get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, you'll get it done. Even if you got to bundle up in layers and make sure no skin is exposed, but it has to get done, you'll get it done. All right. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. At the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But, of course, you can always use the shortcut. Just go to babaoshi.net, 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 and you can get those programs that are dated and titled. The other programming that we have here for African Perspectives on Monday, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban from 8 to 9 on Mondays. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. On Wednesdays, from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot.
This call may and be Brother recorded Richard. Or transcribed.
It's Friday with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council on Saturdays from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Once again, brothers and sisters, they're trying to raise some money to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And it's a damn shame it's taken so damn long with all the so-called black folks that we have in this damn city that we don't have a supermarket. Don't get me started. Let me move on. Because that's like Baba MVP said, Brother Oshi, you got to. You're right, Baba. Love you, man. All right. Africa for the Africans, Brabani Tahimba, my good brother. He came back from Ghana back in the 5th of January. And he'll be on the program on Friday, talking about that and other issues that he has concerns about. You know, he has been taking our people to the motherland for years, probably almost 500 of our people in that time.
And you can see the documentation of that by going to facebook.com/Bomani to see pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/Bomani2007 for videos. Or you can do one better. You can talk to the brother. You can dial 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. That's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. His upcoming trips is April 1st, the 11th, to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then November 17th to the 28th to Tanzania. Check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And everything you need, brothers and sisters, is right on that website. Everything you need. No problems. So I look forward to our conversation on Friday with Brother Bomani Tayemba. HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in the cultivation of education, cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, and holistic health. And they do a beautiful job in their programs. Habashah Works, Black Tar Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. Check out HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. LEDGE, the LEDGE Group, they're doing outstanding work in, on the continent. They deal in the four areas of human existence of food, water, clothing, and shelter. They're in 12 countries with, have 12 projects in six different countries with over 172 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of LEDGE. If you are a member, you have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania, $250 an acre, if you are a member of the LEDGE Group. LEDGEGroup.com. Abibia Toomey. Abibia Toomey, ABIBITUMI.com. AbibiaToomey.com. I've been having problems with their website, but please, brothers and sisters, go to AbibiaToomey.com and let that be a website that you go to often. Remember, they have a lot of things that in store that you can, you know, take advantage of. There's a, there's shopping. There's all kinds of educational. Once again, I mentioned you can learn African languages. You can even learn Medu Netcher. That's right. You can learn to read the Medu Netcher, or as the Greeks call it, the hieroglyphs. And also, too, Kiswahili, a language we need to learn as a people so we can have some cultural privacy. Yeah, the Medu Netcher. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. Wadada, with healthy fruit drinks and all kinds of good stuff, foods for you, pies and pastries and soups. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food for sale at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia if you're in the local area. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, and T-shirts, and much more. The Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, the Medu Bookstore. Baba Kazimde Ajamu has the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, which I get my coffee from now. I was getting it from Sister Mama Cynthia Mutanas, but that's who he gets the coffee from. She has the hookup with Cameroon and other African coffees and teas and so forth. So check out Mama Nia. Excuse me. So check out Brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give them a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. The Afroletics, afroletics.com, AFR-LETICS.com, afroletics.com. They have a store in the new Black Wall Street Market in Stonecrest, right off of I-20, Pleasant Hill Road. Make a right, two lights, make another right, and there on the left is a former Target store that they are reshaping it into a place where we can be proud of to go shopping and spend money with us. That's right, the new Black Wall Street Market in Stonecrest. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow is their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. It's every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10. From 9 p.m. to 10. Or you can call at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And if you want to give a question, comment, or concern, you just hit 1, and I'll put you ahead in the queue and get your questions asked. That's us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people. Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. I spoke to Brother Abijah, and he's going to come on the program at the end of the month. He unfortunately told me that he had an unfortunate situation where a truck, because it's on a busy street, it's a main street, broke away, and a construction truck and barreled into his shop. Man. Wow, that's deep news. But he's going to come on at the end of the month, and I'm thankful that he is, and you get a chance to talk with Brother Abijah about his Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop. And he has a whole bunch of stuff. He has furniture, clothing, incense CDs, books. He even has a vegan restaurant in the shop. So I look forward to that. And also, too, he's mentioned to me that the 30th of the end of the month, they plan to go to Columbus, Georgia, where Dr. John Henry Clark, his burial site, to pay tribute to Dr. John Henry Clark. I might go along because, you know, I love Dr. John Henry Clark. Believe me, I do. Love Dr. John Henry Clark. Ackerman Institute, located here in Atlanta, where Brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Inia Baruti, are educating our young warriors, and they deserve to be supported. Brothers and sisters, send your check or money donation to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310, or you can use PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And make your donations one time, it's cool. But once a month is great. Whatever how you want to do it and whatever amount, it's greatly appreciated. Ackerman Institute. And, of course, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. In fact, that's what we're talking about today. Today's program is the wisdom of the words from the Inye Sesim, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Ah, let me see. Man, sometimes I have a problem with missing this. Y'all done missed this. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aidi, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, is doing outstanding work. Sister Gabby has been doing good work for decades. I'm in the island of Haiti, working with our children. And please go to our website at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Dash, HaitiAYITI.org and see to see for yourself what they're doing with our young people. The education, the uniforms look beautiful, the health care provided to them, the sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. Beautiful work. Work that desperately needs to be done. Sanjay-Haiti. Where am I at now? Okay. I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. And I know where I am. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to read today, January 11th and January 12th, as we always do, and then I'm going to go back to December, all the days that I missed, and pluck some good ones out of that and have discussion. And, of course, you're free to join the discussion. I'm asking you to by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. January 11th. We can't control what pops up in our minds, but we can control how much we entertain and how much energy we feed those thoughts. Warriors need positive distractions on a daily basis. They need to find things we can totally take from them away from the front line. And they need to be able to do that without feeling guilty about not spending every single solitary second of their time engaged in an intense study or action, which is singularly and wholly immersed in frontline interests. Given the depth of what they do for us and the superficial time and energy that this work takes, it is unfair for us to begrudge warriors for taking on seemingly useless distractions like washing and detailing their cars, playing chess, taking a nap, going shopping, riding bikes, walking through the park, watching a comedy show, going through their internet timelines and other non-serious, otherwise seemingly divergent activities through which they momentarily find some aspect of inner peace and which allows them to momentarily get away from the obligations and duties they readily immersed and fulfill because of their spirit demands it. Whether they know it or not, or like it or not, warriors need rest and play. They need relaxing, fulfilling, recovering past, and rest and play. They need rest and play that assist in keeping them on the mental, physical, and emotional and spiritual cutting edge of our front line. Affirm, I control what I do with my thoughts. Affirm, I control what I do with my thoughts. December 12th. Although it will take much more than our knowing, we are beautiful to save us. There are redeeming qualities in that knowledge, especially when so many of us think otherwise. Let me read again. Although it will take much more than our knowing, we are beautiful to save us. There are redeeming qualities in that knowing, especially when so many of us think otherwise. And we do. Kerry Cheekwood. The Kemetic Ocean is what we now call the Atlantic Ocean. We unapologetically make this declaration using our Phrygian because we named this world long before others were acquainted with words. European old world maps label the Atlantic Ocean as Oceanus Africius, which is European Ocean. European was a Greek label for Kemites, Africans, meaning burnt face. It is the oldest known Greek word for the Kemites, the Africans. However, since we are not these proto-European Greeks or their descendants, we should not use Greek words to characterize and describe the African reality and worldview. You know I agree with this. I keep saying to us, use African words. try your best to use different words. Don't use mentor. In the Iliad, mentor, when Odysseus, or in the Odyssey, Ulysses gave his son Telemachus over to mentor because he was going out and doing what he was supposed to be doing to care for him. And mentor sexually abused him. He sexually meant, that's what a, so when people use the word mentor, you use the word jegna. That is an African word, meaning someone who cares and instructs and nurtures and helps grow young people. Jegna. And those who of us who do it are called jegnak. So don't use the word mentor. And there's a lot of other words. I've gone over that in a few programs previously. It is the oldest known Greek for the it is the oldest known Greek word for Kemet, Africans, Ethiopia, the Ethiopian Sea. However, since we are not these Proto-European Greeks or their descendants, we should not use words to characterize and describe the African reality and worldview. Calling the Kemetic Ocean the Ethiopian Ocean, the Ethiopian Ocean, speaks volumes about how the Greeks saw the world. Calling this enormous body of water African, which means they probably changed it into a Greek name that reflected earlier Africans calling it an African name, indicates both the respect the Greeks had for the names African and given to places in the world, as well as the fact that Africans had already named the world. Therefore, moving back in time to our original thinking, if anything, we should call the ocean that changed from being the Ethiopian to the Atlantic, also the Europeanized term. Nothing other than the Kemetic Ocean. This would be historically consistent, or our history consistent. Affirm, I think within the redeeming qualities of African definitions, and I am returning the world to its original name. Affirm, I think within the redeeming qualities of African definitions, and I am returning the world to its original names. Brothers and sisters, the wisdom of the Inye Sesim. Daily revolutionary thought. Once again, a reminder about the Blog Talk Radio program, American African Empowerment Saturday, and that is at 2 p.m. from 2 to 3 on Blog Talk Radio. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. There will once again be a conversation with Dr. Bruce Bridges and his book, Recapturing the African Mind with Brother Marvin. And that number this Saturday at 2 p.m. is 845-277-9250. That's 845-277-9250. I listened to Baba Baruti the other night on Monday. Great program. On Blog Talk Radio, the Black Panther, the new Black Panther Party program, radio program. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff, man, you know? It's a lot of stuff. My good brother, who's an ancestor, Dr. Rinoco Rashidi, said, history is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future. Brother Rinoco, he gave this quote in the Hidden Colors series when he was on, I think it's Hidden Colors 2, I believe it's 2, and I can't remember who the person we got it from. He says, what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. and do know all the things that we have been told about ourselves makes our thinking of ourselves not in a positive way. We have to watch who's doing the telling. We have to watch who's doing the telling. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. And your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, your philosophy. And it ends with what you do, your actions. So if your philosophy is that our sisters are beautiful black women, ain't nothing but some B's and H's and all of the other madness, then how will you treat them? What will your actions be? What do we see out in the community? Exactly. But if your philosophy is that our sisters are beautiful and should be protected and loved and praised, then you will teach, then you will treat them with respect, love, and praise. It begins with what you think and it ends with what you do. It's the same for the sisters. If the sisters say that our men ain't no good and don't deserve support, then they will treat us with disrespect. They will not do the things that are necessary. But if their philosophy is that our men are to be respected and supported, and for me to become a good complementary mate for him, then they will. Their actions will speak to the support and the good complementarity that they provide for us as a unit and a unit for family. It begins with what you think and it ends with what you do. Your actions. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of great wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. A great ancestor, Brother Lester Velt Middleton. And you can go to YouTube and you can listen to the great scholars that Brother Lester Velt Middleton interviewed. All the warrior scholars, John G. Jackson, man, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, many of the great scholars that Brother Lester Velt Middleton. And when he talks about building, he literally built the house, I think it's in North Carolina, that he lived in. He didn't finish it before he made his transition. But at the ASCAC we had last year, his lovely wife talked about it. Brother Bernie Gallman out of South Carolina did a presentation on Brother Lester Velt along with his wife. It was great. It's beautiful. And that was just something that made me feel so good when I heard her say that, yeah, he built the house. That's why now that quote is even more profound. That quote is deep. Yeah. So we're going to talk today or read many of the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inye Sesim. As you know, Baba Baruti did the painstaking work of putting together Inye Sesim. Then what is the Inye Sesim? It is an African word. It is, each day warriors need words to give themselves cause to consider the significance of what they must do. Each day, dedicated revolutionaries must articulate and refine the nature of their service to African people. Each day, centered workers deserve to have their thoughts recognized and their intent validated by the minds of like spirit. Each day, those who live and would die for us should be reminded that they will never be alone and that their thoughts are those of every other member of the warrior class, seasoned elder warriors and most deserving and honored ancestors. They will find a substance of these affirmations here in this calendar every day. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. And so because I missed almost like two-thirds of December, we're going to talk about some of the Enye Sesem that I missed. And, you know, I love the Enye Sesem. It is liberating. It is thought-provoking. It is something that should and will always motivate, inspire, and guide us. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Okay. You know, when time comes for a break, we'll take a break and then read a few. And then, you know, the lines are always open at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 for you to ask a question or have a comment or concern about what I'm saying today or any other issue that you want to bring to the fore. December 12th. When sleeping women awake, mountains will move. When sleeping women awake, mountains will move. African proverb. There is more and more discussion in our community, especially among sisters, about the importance of lifting each other up instead of refining the art of competitively dragging each other down. As Frontline defined, there is a meaningful difference between beauty and ugliness, strength and weakness, love and hate, based on what we actually do to lift each other up. There are no limits to cooperation among people who love each other. There are no limits to the cooperation among people who love each other. We all can win individually and collectively. There is more and more discussion in the community, especially among sisters, about sisters caring whatever is needed to protect themselves, their families, and their community from the violence and the terrorizing of the lives of everyone within it. A nation cannot adequately defend itself if less than half of the warriors are prepared to battle and actively engage in it. There is more and more discussion in the community, especially among sisters, about being whole within. They're asking each other to wake up and rise up, and that is a good thing. Affirm, I assist my sisters in their awakening. Affirm, I assist my sisters in their awakening. There are some sisters that you know, and that's the beauty of African women, the history of African women. You don't see that too much in, at least, you know, from what I understand, and there could be some other cultures of where women were just as strong. But when you look at what our women have done, that's just like in the movie Wakanda. That's real. The Majahai, that's real. There were warrior sisters. There were Queen Nzinga, Queen Yasantewa. There are sisters that fought. Women that fought. They didn't just, you know, they didn't just stay home and hunt and gather food. No. And some of them were braver than some men, to be direct. You know, I love the movie on Queen Nzinga. It was in subtitle because I don't know if it wasn't. I don't think it was in Portuguese. I hope it wasn't. But, you know, but that's who she was fighting, the Portuguese. You know, just like in Brazil, they're fighting the Portuguese. Yeah. Conga Zuma. Yeah. Zimbi. Yeah, I love that story of Palmeiras of Brazil. Love that story. So, I mean, you know, we got to give women, our sister, the love that they deserve and the protection that they deserve. December 13th. The black bourgeoisie has shown no interest in liberation of Africans, of Negroes, except has it affected their own status or acceptance by the Caucasian community. E. Franklin Frazier. You will encounter people who, in misthinking you intellectual, will judge you based upon some book that they considered essential to the warrior's intelligence, which you had yet to read. It is imperative that you overlook their envy and arrogance, a hauntingness which requires them to measure others so that they could appear better. If they are thinkers, you can remind them that no person has read everything, that no person has read the extent of their interest, that no person will ever read everything of worth, and that no person needs to read everything in order to know truth. You should remind them that a wise person tests the limits but acknowledges the impossibilities of knowing all. Do this, and then go back to your reading. Affirm, I am not haughty. Affirm, I am not. Definitely not. Because I know that I don't know it all. I truly don't. And I never profess to. I'll be learning from the moment I started to develop my consciousness in the 60s, into the 70s, and definitely in the 80s. To this present day and to the day that I expire. It's constant. It's always evolving. Some things that I knew 20 years ago no longer apply today. So we're always updating. We're always looking for the truth. We're always searching and sharing that knowledge. You know, online, there's a number of brothers I love. You know, like my brother Dennis Blackwell. He throws out beautiful memes all the time. There's another brother I've been seeing. I try to contact him. You know, he's been throwing out some good stuff. Very conscious raising. Very African. Very direct. And these brothers and sisters, because I know there are two sisters that I know that do that, are to be applauded and respected. They don't get on social media with bullshit. They get on there to challenge you, to awaken your mind, to perk your interest, to get you to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in. To get you to turn the knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip that the European has on our minds. Because of what these brothers and sisters do, you continue to turn that knob until finally it's open. And not that you challenge Caucasians, to hell with that. There ain't a damn thing that we can do to change their minds because they're set. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. And ain't a damn thing that we can do or say to change it and for them to believe otherwise. That's on them. I could care less. But for us to come together and to begin to develop the ability for us to get the hell up out of here, to be free, independent, self-determining, and sovereign. That is our quest. That is the end game, brothers and sisters. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. It's unify or die. December 16th. Any black man today who strives to be a man among men is singled out and accused of everything except for what he is trying to do. Beloved sister ancestor Betty Shabazz. In attempting to absolve Yorugu of their crimes against the universe, many of us will say, it's not just them, it's us. We forget, though, that those among us who are this us are not us. They are the minions, the agents of Yerugu. They have worked long and hard to lose the right and privilege to be part of us. We should know that in the end, dead skin is nothing more than dust in the wind. But because we battle so much and directly with those who are no longer a part of us, who look like us, we forget their origins. And origins are always critical to a clear, uncompromised understanding of any situation or circumstance, and especially the form of any interactions fostered within whatever it takes. So often, we overlook the fact that it is in the nature of Yerugu to hide behind Negroes when confronting, derailing, and dismembering Africans. We forgot that it is the Negroes whose daily face we are committed to shielding Yerugu from any who look like them but would dare stand against the evil they love. Simply put, as evidence in everything they do, the Negro's sole ambition and life's mission is to serve and protect the lives of Yerugu. So we would be unwise not to expect the Negroes to try to shame and silence us with mutterings and frowns of disgust, as they are worthy of even the least of our respect. For who are the mentecidal to judge warriors? Why would we ever overlook the fact that the Negro's greatest point of pride is self-hatred, and self-hatred extends far beyond the self? Regardless, as we know, everything must change, and Negroes too shall pass. Affirm, I move undaunted in the faces of enemies. Affirm, I move undaunted in the faces of enemies. The Negro. You know, I think that's why, to me, I've often said I'd rather be in a world of my own choosing and struggle in that world and struggle with each other than to be in a world where I know I'm going to have to struggle. And I'm going to have to struggle, too, against us in a world of my own choosing as opposed to a world that is somebody else's. Because in the European's world, and this is his world, I know there are some of us that are doing well. There are some of us that, you know, like here in Atlanta, there's communities of us. Just us. Beautiful homes, manicured lawns. I'm quite sure the houses are immaculate. But even in those enclaves and those cul-de-sacs and those subdivisions, those brothers and sisters don't come together and say, hey, let's pull money together and build a strip mall where we have a service station, convenience store, maybe a supermarket, any other things that we need, jobs for our kids, for our teenagers, instead of driving 10, 15, you know, minutes away or half hour away. We could do all of these things, but because really the notion of our inability is always there, because we've been trained to be self-hating. We've been trained to only trust and love Yerugu instead of each other. And this training has been ongoing for hundreds of years. This disrespect and distrust has been going on for hundreds of years. And even when we had the opportunity, and did for ourselves and each other, the Caucasian came and destroyed it. Rosewood, Elaine, Arkansas, Bowie, Tulsa, Allentown, many others, even contemporary ones like the Haitite community, probably the community in your neighborhood, like it was in mine, when they destroyed an area where we were to build an expressway. December 17th, many black people cannot believe that this Caucasian's objective is for African extermination. It is if African people suffer from a mental illness that prohibits anti-European thinking. African people feel they have to question everything that is anti-establishment, but never question the establishment. Consistently talking about what you are going to do if this or that happens, or happens again when this or that is constantly occurring all around us, exposes a deep-seated fear and incompetence in a potential warrior. Given that time is of the essence in Yerugal's genocidal march against us, it is the most revealing contradiction. The time is past for us talking about what we're going to do. Consistently talking about what someone needs to do to this or that, psychopathologically racist war criminal or nation, while doing nothing to locate and execute that sentence, speaks volumes about the lack of seriousness with which one takes their frontline oath. Selling wolf tickets is not the business or behavior of warriors. Talking loud and doing nothing is not found in the character of warriors. Making accusations against those who do the work of crippling and murdering African people without accepting a deserved justice is not within the mentality of warriors. Warriors are willed, determined, singularly focused action verbs. If made against an active enemy, threat should never go unfulfilled. Firm, I believe Yerugal is Yerugal, and I act on that knowing. Affirm, I believe Yerugal is Yerugal, and I act on that knowing. I ain't changing it. I know that's who he is. That's what he has done. That's what he will continue to do. We are at war. And the most deep part of this war is for the minds of our people, because it's understood by us who have studied, who have been committed, who are African-centered, who are Pan-Africanists. We recognize the mind. Once our minds are right, free your mind and your ass will follow. Free your mind. Reclaiming and recapturing the African mind. It is about the mind. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll read more from the Enye Sesem. And brothers and sisters, please join the conversation. I'm quite sure you have some anecdotes or perspectives or questions, comments, or concerns. So please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Shine up.
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Donnie Hathaway, the ghetto. Donnie Hathaway, we miss you, Donnie. For real. Other programming we have once again here on African Perspectives on Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. That's followed from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. The Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. We're reading from the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts. You know, since I was gone a lot in December, I'm going back over some of the ones that that we missed. And hopefully that you'll chime in on some of the discussions. We read the quote from a multitude of brothers and sisters in Proverbs and so forth and African sayings. And then Baba Baruti gives a brief synopsis of what we're talking about. This is December 19th. Though it seems that the majority of African people are colonized and ignorant of their true legacy, the truth is still here, preserved, waiting the day it may come forth to shine her light, freedom, and richness to those that are open to receive it. To receive it is to become the gods and goddesses we were all meant to be, already are. Remember our divinity. You, daughter of God. You, son of God. You, the children of the light. Do you know who you are really? Do you know who you really are? Remember, Ra, member, wake up. Can you see that the real war is about disinheriting you from your true inheritance as the sons and daughters of God and goddesses? Surah. If only we could see in us the source of others' incredible awe of our and the fear of us. If only we could stop running from ourselves long enough, afraid that others will see us looking within, to get even a glimpse of the undeniable, immersed connections to the warrior spirit, the undaunted humanity, the instinctive, effortless, and unpretentious love for and nurturing of family that reside within our natural African selves. If only we took a deep moment to measure our ability to have survived the violence, the supremacy-seeking mind of the vilest, most despicable, diabolical, evil creature in the universe, and still thrive under its even more sophisticated murderous assault. No one but us have and could have done this. No one is this strong and resilient, this alive. Only we have been proven capable of wandering within Yorugu's disease-ridden cesspool, yet be unable to die. If only we could see that we are nothing less than divine in our divinity. Only if we could see that we are nothing less than divinity. Affirm. I can see why we are so feared and remember who I am. Affirm. I can see why we are so feared and remember who I am. Who are we? Are we really who we are? And are we all we ought to be? These are questions that we should ask ourselves. Who am I? Am I really who I am? Am I, and am I am I ought to be? Am I am who I all I ought to be? Who am I? Who are we? You know, we've been in this reality for so long, and I know that there's so many of us that because of what this has done to us mentally, it's the only reality that they want to be in. You know, it's a damn shame that here we are as African people sitting on all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it all, and showing the hell don't want to pay for. Dr. John Henry Clark quote. And yet we'd rather be here struggling and begging for a job, for a promotion, to live here, to go to this school or that school, when we could be outside of this madness and doing for ourselves, educating ourselves. I know that I will not live to see the reality that I hope of African people controlling their resources, controlling their land, being a world player, being a model for the world. But believe me, brothers and sisters, even though you may say that I speak doom and gloom because I speak the truth of this madness, but I'm optimistic. I am an optimist. Because we've done it before. And if we've done it before, we could do it again. All we have to do is purge ourselves of this ignorance, purge ourselves of this self-doubt and self-hate, and reclaim and restore and recapture the African mind. Yeah. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. December 21st. How far you go in life depends upon your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in your life, you would have been all of these. George Washington Carver. When it comes to individuals who work for our liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty, the relationship between giver and receiver is political as well as spiritual. All of these involved in these relationships should express a natural reciprocal sense of accountability towards each other, which is directly reflected in their work. And this includes money, because there is a spirit that comes with it, and any other form of currency, which assists in establishing a stronger bond between those involved. Although this bond is intrinsic to the communalistic mentality of African tradition and will describe in Nana Amos Wilson's tradition, in Nana Amos Wilson's statement that human relationships exist before economic ones and provide the social foundation upon which goods and services are crafted, distributed, and consumed within a society. Because of the stage of destruction in African relationships, in this reality, it has come to work the other way around. The capitalist system was fully functioning and operating against us in an exploitive, divisive way before we were brought into this and then become active participants. So we now have to reconstruct our relationships along African lines so that what we need comes to reflect our interests and not our enemies. On the front line, we must develop beneficial relationships which guide our interpersonal economic activities. However, we can only do this through being honest with each other. And this only comes when we consider each other sacred and consistently honor that form, that from the heart. Affirm, I show respect for everyone African because I am African. Affirm, I show respect for everyone African because I am African. To respect one another, to trust one another, to believe in one another. This is what we must do. And we've been trained not to do it. And it is difficult. But I say, for those who do, let's get more if we can. And if that's it, let's leave the others behind. They are who they are. It's just like what I was told. It said that once everybody finds out about Jesus Christ, and they have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and accept Christianity, da, da, da. Once that happens around the world, and then the tribulation is supposed to happen, and then the rapture is supposed to happen for all the good Christians who believe in this, and then God comes back, or Jesus comes back and subdues the devil, and then there's peace on earth, yeah, something like that. You know, but this is the same thing with us. We have to purge ourselves of the ignorance. And once we do that, once we all understand globally what has happened, we really know, but there's a fear factor. False evidence appearing real. There's a fear factor. That's the acronym. It's my boy, Brother Kwaku. False evidence appearing real. That once we overcome this fear, once we get rid of this idea and this mindset, then things open up to us. Our ability to share and to love and to nurture, to care, communal structures, family structures. We become a people who have all that we need, and we don't have to go outside of who we are. We'll have all that we need. But of course, there are many of us who don't want to deal with the fact. They're afraid. They're afraid. They cannot go against what the European has done to them, Urugu has done to them. They can't go against it. You know. Bunch of snitches. Snitches get stitches. December 23rd. The experimental exploitation of Africans is not an issue of the last decade or even the past few decades. Dangerous, involuntary, and non-therapeutic experimentations upon Africans have been practiced widely and documented extensively, at least since the 18th century. Harriet Washington. The diabolical, bloodthirsty, immoral, God-vaying, sadistic spirit of Victor Frankenstein feeds the mentality and the acts of countless pale and colored mental and medical professionals in the hospitals and clinics where our people are driven by desperation, fear, and ignorance to go in order to even momentarily alleviate their pain. Every experiment you can imagine and more than you dare, because they fall far outside the realm of human sanity, have been and continues to be done to Africans of all ages, dead and living, in all places. What they have done to us in the public and private laboratories and wards in the name of a genocidus science without the semblance of conscience is unfathomable to the sane minds. We have been their human guinea pigs, seen as another species which resembles their so-called Cro-Magnon genes, on which they can test their theories of disease and death. The evil that is Urugu did not stop outside the doors of medical facilities any more than their insanities stayed in Europe as they invaded the world. Affirm, I have no trust for Urugu's medical community. Affirm, I have no trust for Urugu's medical community. And that's why, no, I haven't been vaccinated. And I don't, on this program, have not told people to not get vaccinated or to get vaccinated. What I've told people on this program is follow the science, look at it. But believe me, it's like Baba Jetty, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, says that science is not neutral, nor is science objective, especially in the hands of Europeans. So my mind, and for those who have gotten the jab, and I hope all the things that have been said, who knows? I don't know. But what I do know, just as this Inye Sesim said, what did it say? I don't trust the European. I don't trust them. I don't trust the European. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. I have no trust for Urugu's medical community. I have no trust. And it's justified. Look what they did to us. And many people, one of the first things they do is they mention the Tuskegee experiment. But there are so many more. just like they had to take that statue down of that Caucasian in Central Park. I think they took it down because there were so many protests. I remember they had those sisters who had gowns on would look like blood near their vaginas. I don't know if anybody remembered that. Because of the test that he did without any anesthetic, because they believed that we felt no pain. The lack of show of humanity against us is just unparalleled. There are no, and this, what these Caucasians have done to us. And continue to do to us. That's the thing that, it's not over. It'll be continuous until we stop it. And we stop it by rejecting it. We stop it by coming into our own reality. We stop it by getting the hell up out of here. That's how we stop it. But as long as we beg and plead and be a part of this madness, it will be a part of what they do to us. Our children's children, continuous. Yeah. December 25th. History reveals quite definitively that as far as Caucasian people are concerned, there is no such thing as an African human being. History reveals quite definitively that as far as Caucasians are concerned, there is no such thing as an African human being. Imba Umbala. Imbula. Imbula. We as Africans, subject to the will and the interests of Urugu's empire, live a lie, a patriotic one. A patriotic one. One that allows us to comfortably rest in our fears and destruction. We believe whatever intellectual mumbo jumbo they throw at us, because to argue with it would make a lie out of what we so desperately believe, and challenge those who we know are so eager to kill us at the slightest provocation. The most tangible form of this lie is their flag. The lie that red is supposed to represent their bravery and strength, white their purity and innocence, and blue their sense of determination, evolutionary progress and fairness, and a democratic empire which extends as far as the sky. The truth is that red stands for the blood of the countless. The truth is that the red stands for the blood of the countless others that have so unconsciously, wantonly shed everywhere. Caucasians represent the melanin deficient skin that so shamefully but arrogantly displayed as the human idea. And blue reflects the endless sky under which their evil, disorder, and chaos knows no boundaries or end. Nationalist patriotism is political. Definitions are given which suit the interests of the nation, of the peoples of Sealy, and cultural personality. In the case of red, white, and blue, the nation is historically comprised of invaders, corruptors, and genocidal sadists. Their patriotism is to the death, destruction, and domination of all others. Affirm, I do not take my self-definition from inhumans. Affirm, I do not take my self-definition from inhumans. They're red, white, and blue. That's just like when the other day when I talked about the 1776 and they mentioned the so-called founding fathers. And, of course, they threw in Frederick Douglass and they threw in Martin Luther King because Martin Luther King's peace, you know. And, of course, this Monday is Dr. King's day. And, of course, the 15th is his actual birthday. But it's a national holiday, you know. Just like Muhammad Ali, Dr. King, when he was living and doing what he was doing, he was vilified. They threw all kind of vitriol at them. But of course, when they became more silent or already dead, you know, then they talk about all this, about how much they loved him and how much they respect him. But that's the insanity of the red, white, and blue. That's the insanity. You can chime in at any time. Hit star twice. Be a part of the conversation. We're talking about the Dr. Baba Baruti's work, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We didn't get a chance to read many of the ones that are in December because I was not here. So we're just going to read them and talk about them and explain some of these things. So if you want to get, if you want to chime in, please do. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, ODO, hey. What's happening, brother?
How you doing, Jay? How are you today, man?
I'm all right. Listen, man, right quick. You were talking earlier about the prick, the jab, the whatever the hell you want to call it, the white man's new clandestine money-making machine.
And that it
and
is.
You know, I've come to the conclusion that this is about money. This is not about public safety. This is not about saving lives or anything. Because one of the purposes of this vaccine is to be able to make you do what? Get your black ass back to work quicker.
Well, you see that now, ain't happening. You see that ain't happening.
No, but in a sense, it is on the level to whereas, you know, they're constantly complaining about people going into the hospital and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, me and you, because of our morbidities, we don't need to catch it. Let's be clear.
That's for damn sure.
I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
Now, a friend of mine and his old lady, they caught it. Mm-hmm. And it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't take the vaccine or anything like that, and they probably won't take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
My whole issue with the thing is, number one, try to protect yourself as best as possible.
And that's what we said on this program from day one about this.
Right.
You know.
Which is the basically, if you can, stay home. Fortunately, mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that, you know, mm-hmm. can. And when I do go out, I try to always wear my mask and keep a social distance. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, I won't catch it.
Right.
Now, the reality is, and this is what I take so much issue with, is two things. Them demanding that you and the pressuring of you to take the jab under the auspice that you'll get sick but you won't die.
Right.
And then also the fact that they are not out there trying to create something that will cure the virus or to make it so that if you do get sick, we could give you something like they give you an aspirin for a headache or, you know, surgery for mm-hmm. certain ailments and things of that nature to make you better.
Well, they do have that.
That's what I have great issue with.
Right, they do have that. They came
right.
up with
so
that
the thing is,
late last year.
It seems
late last year. Uh-huh. I can't remember what it's called, but they came up with that. I think Pfizer came up with that.
Nah, well, they ain't.
But it's not. But it's not widely distributed. It may not be widely distributed, but they do have it. They made mention there is a pill that you can get if you have caught COVID, that you can give you this pill, just like they have done other, you know, problems that come up with antibiotics and other medications. Yeah, they have done that. Now,
well, I mean, I don't. Ralph would know better than I would, so I don't know. But the point is that this is strictly about them getting paid or positioning themselves to getting paid, population control, because I really think it's a form of population control, and just other panic on regards to other things that's going on, and a form of blaming things for the type of inflation that we're suffering from at this time. So, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, brother. Knowing the nature of the white man and who the white man is, it's some sinister sugar honey I see at play with this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because the Yorugu ain't never on the up and up
about nothing.
Damn thing.
Exactly. He's not. He has all kind of ulterior motives. You know, that's why I just said earlier, you know, I don't trust them at all. And there's legitimate reasons for the distrust because of their history and what they have done. So, no, you know, I can't honestly say now that I trust them and I trust science. No. Because
there ain't no reason to ever in this life trust the white man about anything. His history has proven that he ain't no goddamn good. I mean, come on, man. I was talking with a young man the other day, and I was trying to point out to him the direction to go in regards to understanding who and what this white man is and what he's done. And I told him that he gotta read.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you don't want to read, you gotta go to YouTube and listen to many, many, many lectures.
Yeah.
But you still gonna have to read. Yeah. You're still gonna have to get an understanding and a foundation on what this devil is and what this devil's about, because he just so goddamn good. There's nothing good about him.
Yeah, and it's all of the information is there for him.
I can't think of nothing good about the white man. Yeah. I don't. You can't explain to me, based on the way that he has treated African people, where there is any type of goodness, kindness, or anything in regards to this filthy, stinking, no good bastard.
No, it's not, and they're just not. I mean, the way they treated us is just really serious, but all other humans too. You know, he has been, even though he represents less than 10% of the world's population, he has at one time or another, and still does, and to some extent, control the world economies, control the world resources. You know, he realizes that because he's a numerical, quote, minority, he has co-opted other people. That just like when they had the G7, which was all Caucasian, then of course they put the G8 because they made the Japanese, because of their economic prowess, honorary Caucasians, you know. And there's some Asian countries that believe that they are just like Europeans. They're just like Caucasians, you know, in their mentality and how they deal with one another and how they deal with the world, and particularly how they deal with us. You know, one of the things that Dr. Clark said that I love, he said not only did they colonize the world, but they colonized information about the world. And that information has gone global, and that's why in the world, we are shunned. We are disrespected. We are relegated to the lowest. I mean, this defies, as Dr. Bobby Wright said, defies all laws of probability why we are at the damn bottom everywhere. But yet we could be on top if we unify. The main problem that we experience is because we have no damn unity. We don't have any functional unity. You know, we believe just what the cracker does, that individualism is the way. You know, I think, therefore I am, as opposed to being the collective, the Ubuntu that we must be. So this is an ongoing problem. But as it relates to this medical problem, it's just like Now, Brother Bomani's going to come on, and I was talking with him. There are some issues now in Ghana that you're going to have a vaccine card to get in and so forth, and they're pushing these kind of things.
Oh, no question.
You know? Because...
matter of fact, the vaccine card is going to basically be mandated everywhere around the world.
Yeah.
In regards to travel or to do something. I mean, you know, the reality is they just putting things in place to be able to do what?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mentioned that about what? I mentioned that about either last month or previous month about the low numbers of infected people on the continent. The only place that it was ravishing was in South Africa. Other than that, the virus, whether it was the Alpha virus, which is the beginning virus, the Delta virus, or the Omicron, and now the Deltacon virus, which is, I guess, a mixture of the Delta virus and the Omicron, you know. But whatever it is, it was not affecting Africa for a number of reasons, the age of the population, the fact that many people are outdoors getting vitamin D, you know, and other issues. But, you know, now, just like you said, that may be a continent-wide requirement, you know.
No question. It has to be. It has to be. And what's so sinister about it is that may bring the damn virus to the country.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you notice, think about it, all these people that are jabbed and boosted, are they still getting the virus?
Yes. Yes, they are.
So what do that tell you?
You know? Yes, they are. And of course, if you're jabbed and boosted, and yet you come in contact with somebody like me and you, that could take us out. You know, those of us who have a compromised immune system for various reasons, particularly something respiratory or even heart or even diabetes or whatever, obesity, whatever. That's why, as I said early on in the pandemic, and I played that one piece, but the brother who talked about vitamin D, who talked about getting sunlight, who talked about diet, who talked about the alternative, which, of course, this society has never said any damn thing about. The only thing they said something about was get the jab. Get the jab.
Oh, yeah. That's the prerequisite for your so-called survival is the jab.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Listen.
Get the jab.
Oh, you know better than anybody. This white man just play games with you. He toys with you. He manipulates you. He just treats you like you're a trick. I mean, you know, I was seeing on a post earlier saying, what do black people want? Black people want to be closer to the white man. They don't want to build their own. They don't want to be separated from the white man. I mean, you know, an anthropologist really need to do a study on the Negro. There really need to be a study on the mind of the Negro.
Yeah.
Now, people may look at you and listen and say, what is he talking about? Mm-hmm. The Negro mind really needs to be studied because it's clearly something is wrong with the Negro and the Negro pea. Because he has no understanding of his history. He has no understanding of his culture. He doesn't identify himself as being an African. He identifies himself as being black and only wanting Negro peen and Negro values. He thinks that if you achieve what the white man throws out in front of you, you're successful. I mean, it's just mind-boggling,
yeah,
man.
Well, they've done a number on us, brother. They've done a serious
number. Oh, they have.
Yeah, they've done a serious number on us.
He's a master manipulator.
Yeah.
The master deceiver. everything that is evil that you could think of.
Right, they've done.
That is
who they are.
The white man. Yeah. And they always want to try to make you out to be what he's the master and the facilitator and the creator of.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. Because we don't understand or have a concept, and we don't visualize what civilization was before this dog
came out
of the cage on all fours.
Yeah, well,
we can't imagine that we lived in harmony, peace.
Right. Well, let me catch some other callers, Jay. You hang on, okay, brother? All right, brother.
All right.
602. Good afternoon.
Yes, brother Oshie. Good afternoon.
Hey,
good
brother afternoon, Marcus.
Gia. You know, what I understood was the purpose of a vaccine is to prevent infection.
Right.
Okay, that's the purpose. Like the polio vaccine. You get the polio vaccine, you're not supposed to catch polio.
Right.
Right? So if the vaccine is not doing that, then it's not a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. If it's not preventing infection, it's not a vaccine. And I said that to say, look at the flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
Every year they said, oh, you need to get a flu shot.
Right.
Why? And this COVID is like the flu. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a cope with a vaccine to prevent the flu, why we think they're going to cope with a vaccine to prevent COVID when it's something like a cold? You see?
Mm-hmm.
So I caught it. My whole family caught it. Okay? And we pulled through without the vaccine.
Right.
See? You pulled through without the vaccine. So that would mean
You didn't have to vote, Marcus. You didn't have to go to the hospital either, did you?
No. You have
exactly.
to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What it did, my symptom was every joint in your body hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Every joint in your muscles hurt.
Yeah.
But it was brief for like a day.
Yeah.
You know, you get a chill, but
just like
then
the flu.
It went away.
Yeah, just like the flu.
No, I have friends and family members who took the vaccine, and they caught COVID after they took it, and they were in a worse off condition than myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have had family members who caught it. In fact, I had a family member that died from it.
Yeah. I've known at least about 10 people that I've known personally that have died across this country from COVID. So, I mean, I recognize, you know, the seriousness of it, but I also recognize the fact that there are things that you can do to prevent the situation. If you are conscious.
I don't know if you can prevent from catching it. I don't know if you can really prevent.
Well, I mean, you know, you wear your mask all the time. You stay your distance all the time. You keep one you wash. You just try to maintain that. But you are right, because now with the Omicron or the Deltacron virus, that's a mixture of the Delta virus and Omicron virus, supposedly, it is highly contagious. You know,
exactly.
And being highly contagious, you don't know when you go into an atmosphere and you don't have your mask on. Because now, if you've been watching like I have, there's all kind of public things going on. Basketball games. I watched 3 or 4 basketball games yesterday. The football games, although those things are outside and there's more safety outside because when people yell and scream. But yeah, if they're still yelling and screaming and they're right behind you or you're right behind them, you know, then those things are airborne and you don't have a mask on, then there it is.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the best thing I say you can do is to build up your immune system.
Right. Build your immune system. That's it.
Yes, that if you do catch it,
exactly,
your body can fight it off.
Exactly.
And then you will develop antibodies against it.
Exactly.
By catching it
again.
Naturally.
But exactly.
They're not talking about that.
No. The only thing they're talking about, the only thing they're talking about is take the vaccine. Take the vaccine. And when you mentioned, Marcus, when you mentioned about the, you know, what vaccines are supposed to do, and that was my understanding as well since I was a kid. I remember, I don't know if you grew up here in the States, but back in the 60s, late 50s and the 60s, I was born in the early 50s, and I'll be 70 next year. And so there were commercials about polio and the polio vaccine, and the commercials were, to me, were very scary. They would have this marionette, this little puppet silhouette, and then the polio thing would come across and like scissors and cut his legs off and cut his arms off. I'm like, ah, you know, you know, yeah. But that's what's what not, but see, when Bill Gates was, I don't know if it was a TED talk or whatever the hell it was, when he was addressing our audience and he was talking about, we have vaccines that we can use for population control. This is out of his mouth. This is almost verbatim. And I'm saying, huh?
Yep.
Vaccines for population control? I thought vaccines were supposed to help, you know. But then again, these Caucasians have always been about population control. When I seen one of the, I don't know which one it was, one of the Caucasians, the so-called royals, Prince, whatever the hell. And he said, in Africa, we want to decrease the population because it's infringing upon the animals and their habitat. And I'm down with, you know, preserving migration patterns for animals like in the Serengeti and all that kind of shit. But I am definitely not down with killing people, eliminating people, you know?
Yeah, well, that's their motto, though, you know?
Yeah.
He who kills the most gonna have the most. That is their thing. It's, you know, I mean, you know, when I tried to join the military when I was young, in Marines, and you know what they told us? Ambush is killing, and killing is fun. Okay, that's what they had was running around.
Yeah.
Saying, ambush is killing, and killing is fun. And the blood grows, help the grass grow. Okay,
yeah.
So these people, as Jay said, take us evil to the core.
Yeah.
There ain't no redemption for them. Believe you me. Ain't no redemption for them people. And unfortunately, a lot of our people are going to go down with him because they are hell-bent on supporting this foolishness that's going on.
Yeah.
And see, Brother Oshie,
go ahead, Brother Marcus.
Yeah, I was just going to close out, you know, tell you, keep on keeping on, Brother Oshie. We appreciate this program and just keep on keeping on.
I appreciate that, Brother Marcus. Thank you always, man. Appreciate you for listening. Take care.
All right, brother.
Yeah, Brother Marcus. And all of those who called it, once again, I see a number of people in the queue. Just hit star twice. Hit star twice so you could join this conversation. I got a few minutes. Let me get back to at least another Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 26th, you can't integrate the European side into the African side. You'll become schizophrenic. You've got to integrate the old African side, which is our heritage, with the new African side, which is our reality, to produce a new African consciousness. Dr. Leonard Jeffries. You cannot become one with death and remain alive any more than any part of your consciousness can become European while your interpretation of reality remains African. Death cannot allow life except as a game, or it is no longer death. This is its nature. It is compelled to murder. That is its genetic imperative. Certainly, it can play with life, even pretend that it is alive. It can even tease the living into confusing their identity with death to making murder them easier, and in fact collectively move them toward suicidal aspirations. Life cannot remain alive in death's reality because death requires all to be like it, or else it murders them. Death stalks us. It perfectly peers over its horn-rimmed reading glasses as it toys with us, studiously measuring every effect of its devastation through our pain-encrusted dysfunctional reactions. Like a cat teasing its next live meal with escape, it taunts us with the actions and imaginary imagery of annihilation. It would have us believe we can do nothing to stop. Our well-being and our well-reasoned response has become nothing more than supplicative complaints and interceding diatribes. To be saved from ourselves, we are told we must move closer to the disease origin. We must come into the cold. Yet we know that only the sun gives light and life to the leaves as well as the root. When the leaves lose their warmth, the heat is no longer transferred to the roots, and the roots too long exposed to the cold will die. We cannot become one with death without dying. Affirm, I am fully integrated with all of my African selves. Affirm, I am fully integrated with all my African selves. I recognize the fact that death is part of what is prescribed for us by them. Death. Yeah. December 29th. In general, education was holistic and communal, with the goal of harmony between humanity, nature, and the supreme creator spirit. Education, therefore, was designed to prepare individuals to seek ways of improving the community. The African principle encourages everyone to the greatest good of the greatest number, based on the righteousness and reciprocity. Individualism was subordinated to collectivism and irreverence for traditional Africans' moral and spiritual consciousness. The great ancestor Baba Hannibal Afrique. Some, many of whom are actually doing nothing themselves, can be heard loudly complaining about the limited number of men and women warriors who are positively interacting with the minds, body, and spirits of our warriors in training. They have already concluded that we are losing and that African sovereignty is not possible. However, from a visionary, victorious warrior's vantage point, we should be able to see the exact opposite. So we should proudly applaud and loudly as we can possibly can those many warriors who are courageously, tirelessly, and without doubt doing the work of connecting the youth with our way. Ashe. Affirm, I am cognizant of the death of my responsibilities as a centered, politicized teacher. Affirm, I am cognizant of the depth of my responsibilities as a African-centered, politicized teacher. You know, Brother Damani Aquil and the young people that he works with, the young people I've worked with and continue to work with. Because I realize the only way that we can get up out of this is that we share knowledge, we help bring each other up. We try our best to help each other comprehend the problems that are happening to us and understand that we collectively solve them. That's why I keep putting emphasis on the importance of Kwanzaa. I was really sad that I couldn't participate in Kwanzaa this year, although with the virus and all the other things out there, you know, maybe I was fortunate to be at home and to be quarantined, self-quarantined to some degree, but I really understand how important it is for us to be communal, for us to be sharing, for us to be working together and put into our daily lives those Kwanzaa principles of Umoja, unity. Kujitaka Lea, self-determination. Ujima, collective work responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity. And Imani, faith. To put them into our everyday lives. That we're very conscious and committed to helping one another, believing in one another, working with one another. This is who we are. This is what we're about. This is what we must do. Brothers and sisters, I come to the end of the program again. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate all those who are called. I see a number of people on the queue listening. I thank you for listening. This Friday, I'm at Brother Bamani Tahimba of African for the Africans. I'm going to talk about the trip that he has made. Brothers and sisters, go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or go to YouTube to watch videos of previous tours. YouTube/Bomani2007. Or go to Facebook. Just go Facebook/Bomani and look at the pictures of previous tours. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace, family.